Kayak Fishing Radio, the chat room that likes to use little goofy icons. Welcome, everybody. We are on the downhill relaxation unwinding mode from this past weekend. Didn't make it, you missed it. We had a blast here in Virginia Beach. Kind of funny now to look at the guests all lined up there, Chris. We can put a face with everybody now. Kind of cool.
Wow, honey. The button is already gone. However, there's a new button. It says Chris. Let's try what it does.
Chuck, I'm going to hold you. I mean, excuse me, Chip, I'm going to hold you down and shave that little whatever Fu Manchu thing is you're growing. Holy cow. Oh, wow. Thanks, Chip. Love you, brother. Hoorah. Golly.
I'm so sorry. I'm going to go on mute for a second.
Okay. Wow, that's just too funny. All right, well. Got rid of Chris for a second. Anyway, yeah, we are on the downside of the boondoggle. Everybody seems like has made it home. Garth is still on the road traveling, I think. But other than that, I think everybody safely made it to their destinations. We had a great weekend. Weather didn't cooperate at the end, but we'll get through all that here in a minute. I want to backtrack by 1 week to the previous weekend to the TKA event. I didn't have any numbers or stats to put up when we broadcasted last Tuesday. But since then, we have figured out the total from the tournament. And if you had anything to do with the TKA event, whether you were a sponsor, a participant, helped out, whatever, give yourself a big round of applause because TKA raised over $15,000 last weekend for Heroes on the Water and Project Healing Water. I would have never thought 8 years ago that we could have raised that kind of money for a kayak tournament here in Virginia Beach, but we did 2 weeks ago, so like I said, if you had anything to do indirectly, directly participating or anything with that event, thank you very much. That was just way too cool. When Wayne called me all excited to announce that amount of money, I think I might have fell back in my seat a little bit. So, like I said, very cool. Going to two great causes. So, thank you, everyone. All right. With that being said, we'll fast forward back up to the present day and recap the boondoggle tonight. If anybody's in the chat room would like to call in and throw their 2 cents in on their past weekend here in Virginia Beach on the boondoggle. We'd be glad to hear from you. The chat room's going to town now.
Say boondoggle.
I'm afraid to now. I really am.
Yeah.
I just did. So you missed it.
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
Wow.
Thank you, Chip.
New buttons for Chris. Well, we'll get to that one after we finish up this past one, and then we'll get to where the next boondoggle will be, as we already heard, though.
So. Okay, I won't hit it just because I just did.
Okay, just give it a break. Wear all your buttons out. Chip, I so owe you, dude.
Ooh, honey, I believe we have Mr. Wunderknicken live with us.
Tommy V in the house?
I think so. Let me see.
He's in the house.
It's
Tommy V.
Good evening, guys.
What's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, I don't know what happened at the top of the show. I kind of was logging in when things happened, and so the audio had cut off and then cut back on. So I guess I'll probably have to find out from other means. You probably don't want to repeat it by what the reaction was.
What happened, what sent me into a dizzy, just laughing, cracking up?
Yeah.
You missed it?
Yes, I did.
Okay, just for you, Tom. Here we go.
Hey, that sounds like me under the Lesnar Bridge. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I kind of look like Tarzan, too, you know, my physique, you know.
Oh, hey, yeah,
the loincloth image just went away.
Yeah, mine was a reverse loincloth, though. No, I just really wanted to call in and thank everybody that took part in the TKA tournament, for one. That was a fantastic thing and a great fundraiser for both Hal and Project Healing Waters. But I also wanted to thank everybody that took part in the boondoggle also, because that was a great fundraiser also for the Tidewater chapter. I don't know if you announced how much the raffles and everything.
No, I haven't even gotten to the. No, haven't even reached yet. But you know what, Tom? We got you on the phone and we raised it for Hal Tidewater chapter. So why don't you go ahead and announce to everybody who maybe didn't see all of our posts, all of our Facebook and every other social media site, how much money we raised.
Yeah.
We have a drum roll button in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But lady didn't hit it.
But the grand total from a rather small event, really, when you think about it, and a bunch of guys and gals that just come together at the spur of the moment in a way, $1,072. So, I mean, that's a huge amount as far as our operating budget at the Tidewater chapter, and it's going to go a long way to help us reach some goals that we've got for next year on increasing what we have on the water. A couple of things that we're looking at are some radios for safety purposes and some other safety gear also, some horns and stuff. Joe Mancini will be very happy to hear that we'll have some horns out there. And then also we're looking at expanding. We've got to go ahead from the national office to go ahead and buy a couple semi-dry tops. That way we can bring one or two vets out at a time, because we don't want to have a big event when the waters are cold. But, you know, even though the water gets cold around here, sometimes in the middle of winter we'll have a 60-degree day or something, or a 50-degree day or whatever. It still doesn't meet that 120-degree combined water temp and air temp, and so we have to put some semi-dry or dry wear on. And we already have some waders and some foot protection and stuff. So we'll be able to do it on a small scale and hopefully grow from that. And the money that was raised at the boondoggle is definitely going to help us on that road. So I really do appreciate it, Mark and Chris. I really appreciate all the effort that you guys did, because I know you guys did a tremendous amount of you know, begging and stealing from local vendors and stuff to have raffle items. So thanks for everybody that attended also.
Oh, you're welcome, and yeah, definitely thanks to everybody who attended, everybody who donated and, you know, put up. I mean, Chuck brought stuff all the way from Florida. We had other numerous people who came to the event that brought stuff with them to give to us, and we didn't even have an idea we're bringing. So we were kind of like, we had more raffles than we knew what to do with them. I mean, we knew what we had in our own hands, but we had no idea of the stuff that came Thursday and Friday and Saturday. So, but yes, definitely thank you to everybody who turned out. I agree with you. It was a small event. As events go, as the amount of people, and if I would have picked a number before that night, I would have not have picked over $1,000. And that blew my mind when I wasn't even keeping up with any of that. And when somebody came up to me and said, we raised over $1,000, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, especially when you think about, you know, the raising for the local chapter was really kind of a sidebar thing to the overall boondoggle concept. You know, from what I understand, we're talking with everybody this weekend, the boondoggle concept is really just to get out of town, go somewhere that you normally maybe not go, or you've never been before, meet up with some of the people that you've met through Kayak Fishing Radio and other places, and just have a good time and relax and not have a big tournament that's stressing you out and all that, and be able to spread it over several days rather than one day. And then, you know, the addition of the raffle and the dinner and drinks and laughs and everything just made it all the more special. So I, on behalf of all of HAL, but especially the Tidewater chapter, I really do appreciate everything that everybody's done.
Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. And what was I getting ready to say? Oh, when you were talking about Boondoggle, but this, and it was. I mean, it was this. It was unorganized, chaotic fun. I mean, it was just so cool just to have no schedule and just kind of go by the seat of your pants, so to speak. It was a lot of fun. Crazy how we were all over the place, going to campgrounds and cabins. And you know, I had Woody came and stayed with us for the weekend. That was a riot. We should have all known on Thursday night when we kicked it off on the pier and I was molesting a mermaid on the dock and everything else that happened that night, that it was going to be a lot of problems. But we had a good time Thursday night.
And obviously somebody caught that. I had a little bit of a brain fart for a minute there. Yeah, it is. It's Yak Angler. That's exactly right. It's Yak Angler. Did I mention Yak Angler? Yak
Angler. Oh, why would you do?
I didn't mention him, and I was like, oh, man, I don't want to say it because I'm going to get it wrong, you know. You know me. I can't remember my own name half the time. But no, it was a great time. It was an absolutely fantastic time. You know, I mean, I didn't get to take part in all the events and everything, but I hit a couple of them, and it was a fantastic time. To the point where, you know, Deb and I, we're ready to go to Florida. Oh, can we say that?
Oh, yeah,
we're ready to go
out there. It's public knowledge. Everybody knows that the next Boondoggle will be in the No Motor Zone, Mosquito Lagoon.
Yeah.
Cars Park. So that's going to be exciting. It's already in the works. There's already people probably scamming out how to get out of it and get down there. So I think, you know, after what they saw for this region, I bet you there's going to be a good Virginia contingency hitting 95 and heading south.
That's exactly right. Unfortunately, there won't be a big cake there, though, from Virginia. So,
oh, man. If anybody missed the cake pictures, if you weren't there to eat the cake, if you didn't see the pictures of Debbie's cake up there, we'll have to find that picture and put it back up again. She did a phenomenal job. That was incredible. I know you guys kept it a secret from all of us. It was just incredible, that cake. It was kind of funny because Chris was setting up the raffles and doing, she was like just running all over the place over there in her little corner, as she called it, getting everything set up. And I came and got her. I said, stop what you're doing. I know you're busy, but you just have to stop and come look at the cake that Debbie brought in. And Chris went over there, she looked at it, and she came back, and the look on her face said it all to me. I knew she'd be happy with it, ecstatic with it, not even happy. That cake was just incredible. I mean, really was.
Yeah.
Hope Debbie's
listening. Yeah, she did
you passed along to her.
Good.
It was really good. And it tasted great, too, huh?
Here, let me, Tom, tell you something funny about that cake. So all the way at the end, I'm trying to clear off the cake and trying to, you know, get everybody to take some home. So I hand Amara a box. I said, Amara, here, this is the piece that we're taking home. Next thing I know, Amara comes back, and I'm looking at her. It's like, Amara, what you do with our cake? She goes, what do you mean, our cake? She gave it away.
So you didn't get a piece to take home?
No.
No.
Oh, that's a shame.
No.
Is that your way of begging for another cake?
No, I'm back on the wagon. I am back on the wagon.
I told you that was purely a diet cake, and I'm proof of it.
Oh, yeah. The scale this morning cried when I stepped on it.
You are definitely the, what she said, that was the first chocolate cake like that that she had made. Usually she likes to make a test one first. And I asked her who the guinea pig was for the test cake, and she kind of rolled her eyes your direction. I don't know what that meant, but I just
I get to taste them all before they go out, that's for sure.
Cool.
That was a new recipe for the chocolate, that's for sure. And I believe the frosting was a new recipe for it also. I don't think she had made the, but I did taste the frosting. I got to taste the frosting before it went on the cake. So. But,
by the way, I saved the boondoggle part of the sign of the cake. I might have to bring it back to Florida with me.
That's cool. Yeah, just don't eat it because the ink wasn't safe for consumption, right? Yeah, but the plank that it was on was so. Anyways, I just wanted to call in, say thanks, had a great time. Joe in the chat room asked if I really did catch fish. Yes, I did. I still haven't posted up those pictures, but I'll do that one of these days. And I don't think Joe caught fish, though. That was the thing. But
well, speaking of catching fish, though, I always make little notes before a show, and I always lose them or forget about them. But that was another thing I wanted to thank. For those of you locally who turned out and kind of quote-unquote guided the people around during the day, the people who were not from Virginia Beach, I wanted to thank you for helping out. And, you know, there's a lot of people I know that made a big effort to try to get, you know, everybody out on the water and show them a good time and show them where to go and where not to go. And I heard you guys. My radio wasn't transmitting, but I could pick up and I could hear you guys asking this guy and that guy, you know, hey, you catching fish over there, what's going on over here? So I really appreciate the fact that people were trying to be, you know, show good hospitality and take people out.
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about. You know, you go to a new body of water or you go out with a friend or something, you know, those friends are supposed to put you on fish. And when we take somebody out, we're supposed to put them on fish, you know. I mean, I remember my wife one time when I took her out and I was constantly tying new rigs and stuff because we were getting broke off and all that. And she says, gosh, I don't feel like, you know, you've had a chance to fish. And I said, hey, my job is to put you on fish when you're out here. You know, I don't care if I catch anything. You know, of course, when she was out fishing me, I changed that attitude. But yeah, I mean, it's our job to put everybody else on fish, that's for sure. And hopefully,
yes, Florida's time coming up, baby.
That's right. It'll be our turn to be put on fish, right?
Yeah, hopefully they do a better job than what we did.
so we didn't have the best, but I think everybody still had a good time. It was kind of funny, too. Sunday was the only day that Chris and I didn't fish. And we had run some errands and were doing some things, and then I was driving, and we noticed that everybody was posting up. They were going fishing. There was a little lull in the rain on Sunday, and they all went out again, so I'm glad that they got to go out one more time before they had to leave, and there was a little window of opportunity on Sunday during that rain. And just for the record, everybody listening who came from out of town, it has not stopped raining since you left, so won't be one of those should-have-been-here-yesterday kind of things. It's still raining here and cooled off, so it's supposed to warm up and clear out, but
yeah,
you didn't take the crappy weather with you when you left, so I was hoping you would have, but anyway. Yeah, we had a great time. Boondoggle, you're right, Tom. Boondoggles are something that I put up the other day. Every day should be Boondoggle Day. It was a lot of fun. We had a great time. Thank you to Salty Seas. I mean, they did an incredible job with what they knew and what was coming. And
their wait staff was fantastic. Hey, more ways than one, but their wait staff was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, they took good care of us. And we said shout out to Salty Seas.
Hello.
Did a great job.
All right, well, I'm going to sign off so I can listen and you guys don't hear me cough and all that. So, but it's,
all right,
again,
thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
All right.
See y'all later.
Yeah, so what else we got going on in that chat room? I saw about 30 minutes of something about cake everybody was writing up there.
That's all they were talking about. How many cake they all caught? How many fish and cake?
How many fish? Caught crabs off the cake. Somebody posted up there, it was kind of funny earlier, and I don't know if he's here now or not, but somebody said something about Kevin ate all the crabs. And Debbie was talking to me about that, and I said, well, you apparently don't know Kayak Kevin's sugar addiction.
Story for people that don't know.
Kayak Kevin is a sugar junkie. I've never seen that. You would not believe it if you met the guy, but we did a fishing show in Richmond, and there was a lady there who sold the marshmallows that were in, Lucky Charms in a little tube. And Kevin bought the lady out, so when somebody told me that Kevin ate all the crabs, that were probably pure sugar on that cake. It really didn't surprise me at all. So anyway, I just thought that I saw that go by in the chat room amongst all the word cakes that were going by. But yeah, we had a great time. It's kind of hard to sum up the whole weekend in an hour show. One of the things, too, besides for being totally blown away by the amount of money we raised, so thank you, everybody that have participated. Thank you, everybody who donated something. I think we had some great raffles, some great prizes. Right up to the night of the raffles, we had people giving us stuff. Rich Jones from Everglades Kayak Fishing, he called me up and said, hey, I'm sorry I missed it. He donated a trip, which Stan Holly won the Who won that? Oh, Gus won that trip.
Uh-huh.
Redfish Chuck gave up one of his buddies down there gave up a trip on a guided no motor zone trip, and Holly won that. I mean, there was just so much. We had so much. I was throwing lures in the crowd because I couldn't even get rid of them all quick enough. So I mean, we just had tremendous support for this, and I really appreciate everybody for that. It was really cool. We had a lot of fun. Like I said, I don't know how to surmise the whole weekend in an hour show. One of the other things that was really cool was to put a lot of faces with names, a lot of our listeners here, and people from yakangler.com and the forums there and all over. So it was really nice to finally put a face with a name or a name with a face and get your real name out there, too. So we had Garth, who's in the chat room tonight, who drove all the way from Texas. He even had his first inshore slam here in Virginia Beach. So congratulations, Garth. I think he's still on the road heading south. We were able to issue a special award to our own personal friend, Speckled Trout Joe. He got his 19-inch ruler, so no matter whenever Joe fishes, all fish now will be 19 inches.
Should also mention the fact that Yak Angler currently has a photo contest going on.
There you go. Well, you're mentioning it. Keep on keeping on.
Now, I don't know. Go to Yak Angler and enter the Boondoggle photo contest.
There you go. Yep. So,
wait,
Mark and Adam are looking for
Yak
all the pictures.
Angler spot. Oh, let's try.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Very cool. So, yeah, so great weekend. Like I said, it was a lot of fun. I can definitely see now this being our first boondoggle, what all the talk was for a boondoggle and why everybody gets excited about it. It'll be nice now to go to boondoggles and be able to be the tourist, so to speak, in the next one. And the next one is, as it's already been announced, in Florida. President's Day weekend, no motor zone. How about that? No motor zone. So what more fitting for a group of crazy kayakers than to go to the no motor zone that has that
bad.
Incredible history.
Button.
What are you talking about? Chris?
A huge delay right now.
Oh, we hit button.
Why is it not playing?
I don't know. I don't even know what you're doing.
That's weird. I'm not on mute.
Nope, Tom, you can't bring your motor. No motors on. Tom Mattal was thinking about his little trolling motor that he won at the TKA event. Good night, Stan. Great meeting you this weekend, Double Dog, Scuba Stan. I didn't get the tree story. Maybe somebody could tell us the tree story some other night, but I heard that Scuba Stan didn't fall out of a tree or something down there in the campground. We missed something, Chris.
Yeah. I'm going to try this button one more time.
Okay.
Boondoggle! Boondoggle. Boondoggle. Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? I suggest you get your butt up. Come find out February 15th through 18th, President's Day weekend in Titusville, Florida at Cars Park. It'll be one heck of a weekend with good people, and then there's a bunch of kayakers, too. For more information, go to yakangler.com, your ultimate resource for kayak fishermen.
That one's going to be hard to remember.
So there's definitely a lot of information that's going to have to start coming up. guys will be able to follow all that between Pack Fishing Radio and YakAngler.com. Chuck will definitely be the go-to guy there. He'll be supporting it all, so we can pound him to death on questions and what exactly we're going to need to come to that neck of the woods. I know he was talking about it last night on his show. And Chuck, you could even call him tonight. Maybe we get some questions out of the crowd.
Actually,
people are already gearing up here.
Chuck is on the phone with us, but he said he just wanted to listen. Chuck, you want to talk now? Chuck, you want to talk? Chucky. Chucky cut a sour at us and he didn't catch a flounder. Here, I'm gonna put him live. I'm gonna put him live and see what'll happen. If he's not nice, I'll just mute him.
Chuck should have came. Chuck should have got up and came fishing.
Let me explain something to the fine folks in the Double L show. When I'm at a boondoggle, I'm on vacation, which means I don't have children.
Right.
Which means I'm not waking up at 6:30 in the morning to go fishing. However,
you did a good job of vacating, it sounded like.
I did. I had a wonderful time in Virginia Beach. Your city is awesome, and your fishery is even cooler. I caught fish. I'm a happy camper. That's all that matters.
Very cool. We had a great time. Great time. So,
yeah, good stuff.
You made it safely home. That's good.
We did. Long drive, but definitely made it home safely. And, got to thank you. I can't thank you enough, actually, for Sunday in the crummy weather for directing us to a location that was a pretty cool place to fish. We ended up doing pretty good there and caught a number of different species and brought back a couple trout to the cabin for some dinner. And it was good.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah. We didn't have ideal conditions this weekend, but we definitely had an ideal weekend. We had a lot of fun. It was a good time. Definitely a good time. So we're coming to your neck of the woods. So this little Virginia posse here, which I got a feeling we're going to have a pretty big caravan heading your way after coming here. I think everybody was pretty excited about what a boondoggle was like. So I think that we're definitely going to be coming down your neck of the woods in full force in February.
Yeah.
Are you prepared?
Am I prepared? Brother, I'm always prepared. It's a lot of fun, man. Our fishery is something that you just have to experience at some point in your life. We're very blessed, very fortunate to have the diversity of fishery that we have right here in our backyard. I live in Titusville. Roughly from my house to the Mosquito Lagoon is roughly 20 minutes. We're not going to be in the Mosquito Lagoon per se, but we're going to be in the northern end of the Banana River. So if anybody wants to Google it, you can Google the northern end of the Banana River, or just Google Banana River, Merritt Island, Florida, and it'll pull up basically in a motor zone. What's unique about this fishery that we're going to be going to is there's no tide. So don't worry about waking up at 6:30 in the morning to go fishing because it doesn't make a difference. The fish tend to just kind of cruise back and forth. The big breeder redfish tend to just kind of hang out on the edges of the shoals. When I say shoals, it's nothing like the shoals you guys are accustomed to where Kevin and Choi and those guys risk life and limb to pound through the surf to fish in like 5-foot swells, like a bunch of crazy people. But just sandbars basically is what they are, but they're slightly underwater. And these big breeder reds will cruise back and forth along those shoals all day long, and they just basically do laps around them. So is it the most exciting fishery in the world? I don't know that would be the case because it's a lot of dead bait fishing. But boy, when you hook up, it gets pretty exciting pretty quick. A typical size redfish in the no motor zone in that time of year is anywhere from, I'd say, 18 to 42, 43 inches. You always have the possibility of getting one from anywhere from 40 inches over 50 inches out of those groups. It's just a matter of getting, you know, the stud or a few studs that are in the groups out. Our fish school up really, really big here, and so it's not single fish that we're fishing. We're fishing schools of fish that can consist of, you know, 50 fish or 200 fish. But along with redfish that will be in 3 foot of water, 4 foot of water, and even shallower, will also be black drum that time of year. And the black drum here will get to be about 50, 60 pounds, maybe even a little bit bigger than that, but not too often. The average fish you'll probably mess with down there will be anywhere from puppy black drum size to maybe 15, 20 pounds, with an occasional 30, 40 pound thrown in there. So it's very interesting. It's a lot of fun. It's a great place to go, throw out a big chunk of mullet or a big chunk of ladyfish or blue crab or whatever, sit back.
Is that the only way? I mean, is that it, bait or go home? I mean, is there...
No. I mean, you can definitely fish slot fish. You can throw big topwater plugs the first thing in the morning and try and get those big breeder reds to come up and eat them. You can throw flies every now and again. The big black drum will get pulled for flies, and big redfish will do the same. But as far as plastics are concerned and that kind of thing, unless you're throwing like super gooped up, stinky something, your chances are pretty slim of getting those fish. But there's plenty of slot size reds in closer to the bank, in shallow water to mess with. They should be tailing pretty good that time of year still, because they are still feeding on crustacean based diet. You'll find some black drum tailing in around the area too. Some mornings in the wintertime, well, we call it the wintertime, some mornings in February, you'll wake up and go out there into the no motor zone, and it'll be all the tails you ever wanted to see, as big as brooms, sticking out of the water, just waving at you, saying hi. Also, too, our speck bite, as you guys call them up there, will be pretty good, or should be pretty good, depending upon how mild of a winter we have. And most of those fish are going to range from 12 to 14 inches or 20 to 30 inches, depending upon what depth of water you're fishing. So if you're fishing super skinny water, i.e. like 2 foot or less, you've got a better shot at catching a monster gator trout. If you fish out in the deeper stuff, you're going to catch a lot of schoolies. So that's that. And then also, too, again, depending upon the temperature of that time of year for us, because it's always so different every year to year, we get a shot at catching some snook and catching some tarpon as well. So
very cool. All right, now I'm going to backtrack, because I know you got everybody excited and everybody's all...
Any other fish, or is that it?
You always get a chance of catching some poor man tarpon, the ladyfish. You might catch some jacks in that region that time of year. Every now and again, a flounder will pop up here and there. But the beauty of where we're going to be is that those that want to do something different rather than just fish the flats every day that you're here, if you want to go over to Port Canaveral and launch in Port Canaveral and fish in or amongst the cruise ship terminals and all that kind of thing at night, you can do that and have a possibility of catching some big, you know, decent-sized sheephead, some spade fish, some mangrove snappers, maybe a few small juvenile groupers, that kind of thing, snook around the dock lights and stuff. But this is all everything down here the weather is very, very critical when it comes to what we're going to be able to target. If it's cold, then you can knock about half of those species off the list because they just disappear. But the redfish, the black drum, the trout, they'll also feed when it's cold. The tarpon will be harder to find. The snook will almost completely disappear. The mangrove snappers should still eat out in the deeper water in the port and that kind of thing. But
did you say snook are gone?
No. Snook won't be gone. It'll just be hard to find. It'll be hard to find. I mean, if you really have your heart set on catching a snook, then you just need to man up, go to Port Canaveral at night and try your best throwing.
I would like to have a trevally. I really would like to have a trevally.
A trevally.
What are you talking about?
That other fish.
The tarpon?
Jack.
The Jack. Jack. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jack Gravel?
That's what I just said.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, you can, I mean, if they're around, yeah, you can have all the jacks you want. You can, we'll just put you in the right direction if they're around.
I would have to say that would probably be single-handedly the only fish I'd be interested in.
Really? Cool. Well,
why is that surprising? Everything else we can get up here, I would be interested in catching a fish that we can't get up here. Or it's much, much more difficult for us to get up here.
Well, you don't catch snook up there, do you?
No, but still, you know, we see pictures of a snook and stuff all the time. Mm-hmm.
Tarpon?
Yeah, we have tarpon.
Yeah, we have tarpon on the eastern shore. Yeah. No.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Jack Gravels are fun. Yeah, I like them actually as a game fish. They do fight well for sure. And being that we'll be in the no motor zone, every now and again when the locks open up into the river, the big ones from the ocean will swim into the river, and you'll know it when you hook one of those because they're 20, 25 pounds and they're basically a freight train. And if you're not prepared to go on a sleigh ride and utilize the drag on your reel, they'll spool you in like 0.3 seconds. So, but no, it's really cool, man. I mean, it really is super diverse. Just a hop, skip, and a jump north of where we're going to be, you have the Mosquito Lagoon, which obviously is world famous for its red fishing and trout, which is a lot of fun. Chip last night was talking about how we sat in like a little school of puppy drum and guarantee you we caught over 250 of them the last time they were there in one day, in less than like 6 hours. So it can go off like just incredible, or it could be a slower bite, kind of like what we experienced where you guys are at, because of weather or what have you. But man, the idea of being able to fish in an area that's completely shut off to motorized vessels, may excite some of you guys, and it should, because when you see the possibilities of what that kind of protection can do to an area, I think that you may even push for some no motor type zones in your neck of the woods, wherever you may live. So, because man, we call the no motor zone Jurassic Park, if that gives you any indication to what goes on up there. So it could be
an aquarium like you had me in.
Dude, it's not even the same, man. It's like, you'll see a lot of the same fish. You'll see big trout. You'll see redfish. You'll see all that stuff. But the pure, just the sheer numbers of fish that cruise through the no motor zone, because they never leave. That's the beauty of what we have, is that our big giant redfish never go out in the ocean because they have to swim through a lock system. And the chances of them catching the locks at the right time to go out into the ocean, slim to none. And plus two, just on the other side of the bridge that's in the no motor zone is the true security zone for NASA, and even the badged employees can't fish that side. But I think it's twice a year they open up that side on the dike roads to the families of the people who live out there to do like a kids' fishing day. And mm-hmm. guys will be standing on it on the side of the dike road throwing skitter walks or Zara spooks or what have you, catching 30 to 45-inch redfish on topwater plugs all day long, because most of these fish have never even seen a lure, let alone a rigged piece of cut bait with a 6-0 circle hook sticking out of it. So they just don't really know to be wary of it. With that being said, when they're schooled up the way they are, they, depending upon how much pressure they've had, especially out there on those shoals, the dead bait always works. So, you know, it's, you're going to get bit 9 times out of 10 on dead bait before you ever will on the plastics for the big giant fish. But there's enough fish around there to make it all worthwhile. Plus, as we said on my show last night, we've got a series of ditches that you can play with, you know, during the daytime with a fly rod and try and catch tarpon on fly, that kind of thing. We've got a couple of other areas that you can, a short drive from the campground over to, like let's say, Manatee Cove, where you can launch there, fish part of the Indian River. You drive up to the Mosquito Lagoon. You can drive over to Port Canaveral. I mean, you've got a lot of different options. kind of like we did with you guys with, you know, 64th Street, whatever, and then Lynn Haven and Rudy in the bridge tunnel. And the beauty is there's no place you can go where you have to be the most experienced guy to go fish it. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody can fish all these areas, I'm telling you, whether you're a beginner, novice, or expert, because, again, there's no tide, there's no moving water, there's no real current. Everything up here is everything down here in this neck of the woods is wind driven. So, you know, it should be good, man. And let's just pray that we have a mild winter here in Florida, because if we do, the trout bite will be absolutely crazy. I'm just telling you, your fish up there are nice, but, man, our trout are just monsters. And they've had three winters now to not die off from the cold, and they're just studs. I mean, I'm not even exaggerating when I say I've caught more trout this year over 25 inches, pushing 30 inches and over 30 inches than I've ever seen in my entire life. So, you know.
They'll all be 19 inches to Joe, so don't worry, dude. They're all going to be 19.
That's right. That's right. But Joe will catch those sons of...
Well, very cool, Chuck. Yeah. We're looking forward to it. And I know as the time gets closer and closer, you'll be keeping everybody on your show and everybody up to speed and in the loop. So we're going to take the turn now to pick your brain between now and February. So
yeah,
I'll make sure.
One thing, too, if you don't mind, I don't know if anybody's on Facebook that saw it or didn't see it, but you can go ahead starting tomorrow and call Cars Park and make a reservation. There was some confusion, partly my fault, but not really, because I never got word from Cars Park yet of whether or not they're going to take reservations, because Cars Park is not open to the public for camping. It's still not open to the public for camping. However, because we're putting on the boondoggle, they've allowed us to come in and camp, kind of like a one-weekend pass. And it is open to the public for kayak launching, but you have to pay a $5 fee to launch your kayak. Now, if you're camping, I don't think you have to pay a $5 fee every day, but that could be wrong. I'll check on it, but I seriously doubt that that's the case. But make sure, if you want like a premium spot, that you call them first thing tomorrow and lock in a spot. Now, I don't think that they ever have a map per se that I know of the different camp spots. But you can request, okay, I want a waterfront spot, because there are multiple waterfront spots with electric and water hookups if you want to bring a camper. If you want to be on the waterfront and you're tent camping, I think you're allowed, at least they did this for the last tournament that was out there, they allowed 2 to 3 tents per RV spot. You know, so if you want to share an RV spot with 2 or 3 other tents, then you can do that. And when I say waterfront, like, you're literally right there. If you wake up in the morning and sleepwalk out your tent door, you'll probably fall into the no-motor zone. And I also got a couple of emails real quick. A couple of guys sent me emails asking about predatory creatures, i.e. sharks, gators, what have you. Yeah, there's sharks there, but most of them are small. You don't have to really worry about them. You'll probably never see them. Gators, yeah, the gators are there, but in February, gators are sluggish because the water's cold. They don't want to mess around and move around too much. The ones you'll see will be giants, but they'll leave you alone. Your biggest concern will be manatees. I'll leave it at that. Good luck with that.
That won't be a big concern for my wife. She'll love to see that, Chris.
She'll like to see what?
A manatee on the water.
Okay.
You wouldn't want to see one out there? Oh, now you don't want to see one.
Well, we seen them last time we went down.
Okay. Yeah, there's tons of them that live in the no motor zone, and if you wake one up when he's sleeping on the bottom by paddling over him, we will all sit back and laugh at you as you were thrown through the air with the greatest of ease. You, your kayak, and all your gear, as you scream like a little girl. So it'll happen. Somebody's going to get thrown in the air by a manatee. Let's just take bets on who that might be.
Tommy Lee, because somebody might come up and float up to him to see if that's a potential mate.
Wow.
Yeah, you laugh. Right. You laugh, but one of the
look, I made it funny. Ha ha.
That's good. Yeah, one of the funny moments that I've had with manatees is I was drifting down Hall River Canal, which is the only waterway cut that goes between the Indian River and Mosquito Lagoon. That, by the way, is home to giant redfish as well. And I had a manatee. This is when I had an Emotion Grand Slam in granite color. This manatee came up underneath me, wrapped his paws around the back of the kayak, and tried to roll me over as if he wanted to, like, spoon. So they definitely will turn you over if they get the chance. They're very curious animals. If you're using an anchor line or you have a stakeout pole set out, they'll come up and kind of rub on the stakeout pole or gnaw on your anchor line or what have you. So, but other than that, man, nothing to worry about. It'll be fun. We'll have a great time. And as I get more things kind of dialed in, i.e. the dinners and the stuff and whatever, then we'll put that stuff out on yakangler.com, Facebook, here on the shows, and whatever else. So, but feel free, if anybody has any questions you'd like me to answer for you as far as gear, that kind of thing, what to expect, you can either shoot me a message on Facebook or shoot me an email, redfishchuck@hotmail.com. I'm done.
Very cool. All
right, Chuck, thanks a lot.
Later, brother.
All right, everybody. Well, we're getting close. I just wanted to make sure I mentioned, too, that tomorrow is the last day to get your vote in for Yak Angler's Choice Awards. So make sure that you get it in tomorrow if you haven't voted yet. I'll put up the link on the chat room. So go in there, get your vote in, be all done. I guess that's right.
Hey, honey,
wrong one.
Our friendly North Carolina fella send you a fishing report?
No, he did not. That's why I didn't read it.
Oops. And I am so sorry. Get Outdoors, Philip Worker, I guess, did not send us a fishing report for North Carolina this week. However, we have plenty of fish here in Virginia.
Well, it's not. All right,
Longer.
Hold on, I'm sorry. Yeah. There you go. I put up the link now, so. No, why does it keep doing that? I don't know.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to put up the stupid link to the Yak Angler Choice Awards, and for some reason, my computer or I, probably I, is having a problem with it. So go to Yak Angler. /choice and vote if you haven't yet.
Oh, yeah.
Tomorrow
next
is your
weekend,
last day.
Next weekend
tomorrow
is
your
the
last
day. Oak Island tournament. Good luck to everybody who's going. Seth, I know you're going.
There you
whatever
go,
you do, make sure you outfish Mr. Ragluski. Kip just put up the link. Oh, my.
Yeah, God. So.
Yakangler.com/choice to vote.
Yeah. Very cool. All right. Well, we're close to the top. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to everybody who came last weekend. We had a blast. Boondoggle, Virginia Beach was a big success, I think. We had a great time. Ready for the next one. So, y'all take care. And that's all I got for tonight. Thanks, Woody, for coming. I don't know if Woody tuned in tonight. We had a blast with now the Uncle Woody at our house. Uncle Woody was waking up Earl, but we had a great time here, so hopefully everybody got to hang out with Woody. He's one cool dude, but we had a good time here. I don't know what else to say. I hope I didn't miss anybody. Thank you, everybody who attended, everybody who sent in raffles. Great times. So, Chris, you got new buttons. Hit something. Get us out of here. Good night, everyone. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night. Mark Wheeler, Thursday night, Chip Gibson. Monday, Redfish Chuck.
Push, but for some reason or another, I couldn't find anything that Chip was suggesting. Oh, let's try this one.
I think I'm going to make a company policy that everybody has to have a co-host now to press the button. Cause I'm getting.
Is it really that bad?
No, it's not bad. I just... All right. Well, good night, everybody. Take it easy. See you next day.
Well, tight lines, everybody. Special tight lines to everybody fishing the Oak Island. Funny guy. Special tight lines and shout out to all of my friends fishing the Oak Island Classic this weekend. Hey, give Mark Patterson a big old smoochie and say, tell him that Chris and Mark said hi and everybody loved the honey up here. So tight lines, everybody. Remember, take your children fishing. They're our next generation angler. Ah. Okay.